Let's bring him in, Paul Emick.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, back at it, Paul Emick, our Green and Gold analyst. Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey, Bill, doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So, what'd you take away from yesterday? Let me ask you this.
Well, that I think what the Packers mostly are, other than being a good home team, which I still think they need credit for, is they are good enough to beat the teams they are better than and that they should beat, and that there's still been that struggle to beat the teams who, you know, are better than them. So I think when you look at games like against Buffalo where they win 22-0, you look at this game yesterday, I think the San Francisco game was obviously way closer than most people would say it should have been. But I think what it says is they're going to probably, Bill, hang around until week 16 or 17. And if they can get hot at the end, you know, they maybe sneak in with like a 9-6-1 type of regular season. What I saw yesterday doesn't inspire confidence that they're going to go to Seattle on a short week and win. It doesn't inspire confidence that they're going to go to Minnesota and win. Sure, on December 2nd at home, they're going to beat up on the Arizona Cardinals, and, you know, that's fine. And, you know, they'll probably beat the Jets, and that's good. They'll probably beat the Lions at home, and that's good. You know, but so that's right there. They're 4-4-1 right now. If you just take those three wins, you're set. You know, you have 7 wins, and they'll probably finish with 8 or 9 wins. It's like they're not, all things considered, a bad team, Bill, but they're just not a good team. And I think what I saw yesterday reaffirms that. You know, you have a team that, again, you can only play who's on your schedule. You shouldn't make excuses for the fact that the Dolphins didn't have their starting quarterback or 3 of their starting offensive linemen. What can the Packers do about that other than just take care of business, right? Which
right.
They did, and they covered this. They covered the spread, and they won comfortably, and they won going away, and all of those things are positive. So you can. It's not meant to minimize that because it's not like the Packers can control those things. But I don't think you can say, "Oh, good, they beat Brock Osweiler and 3 offensive backup linemen," and kind of feel like, and again, not just because of who they beat, or who they played, or who wasn't available for Miami. It was more how they looked. And, you know, the defense did hold the Dolphins out of the end zone, and that's something to take away from. Aaron Jones was amazing and finally had, I think, that moment that had people like myself who have been, you know, riding, you know, leading the Aaron Jones bandwagon kind of feel, told you so. You know, here's finally that break. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the offense in general still aren't, they're not right yet. And until they are right, and I'm not sure if they're just going to wake up one day and be right, I just don't know if this is a team, Bill, that should be in the NFC serious contenders conversation. They've still continued, in my viewpoint, to do nothing to put them in there. So I don't know. I mean, they're a good team among the average teams in the league. Does that make sense? They're a good team among the group of probably like 6 to 8 teams in the league who are like average. They're one of the good average teams, but they're not a good team, if that makes sense.
I wanted to ask you as well about this offense in the sense that, they ran the ball really well. And as we had a little while ago, Eric Brancheck point out, it was against a rather porous defense, run defense of the Miami Dolphins.
Yep.
So how much should we buy into the run game?
Well, I think when you average the kind of numbers they did, that it's still an NFL defense. Now, and I said this to you on Friday when we were talking about keys to the game. And I said, especially since week 3, but even all year, but especially since week 3, the Dolphins' run defense has been bad. If there was ever going to be a point at which Mike McCarthy truly put his actual scheme and game plan where his mouth is, this was the time to do it in terms of running the ball more. They did that. It worked. And, you know, it worked. And you won going away, and all of those things are good. But it's the things between the story, Bill, that to me, it's why, like, football statistics are often, if you just want to read a box score in the NFL, I think you can be misled. If you watch Aaron Jones, yes, the run defense for Miami wasn't good. I think if you watch Aaron Jones and you watch some of the plays where he got the ball in his hands and didn't have like a wide open lane down the middle. This guy still makes people miss in the open field. He adds a lot of the players, you know, so I'm sure you heard all the quotes in the locker room after the game about how fast Aaron Jones sprints to the line of scrimmage, about how just quick and decisive and fast he is to get through that first line of defense. This is for me, Bill, this is the recipe for the Packers to succeed, because even in the game in which the Packers ran the ball so well, I still didn't come away thinking that Aaron Rodgers was back. He still has things that are just not quite what we've come to expect from someone at his level of ability. And so if there was a, you know, a game plan or a blueprint or whatever word you want to use for it, of how I think the Packers could go into Seattle and win, could go into Minnesota and win, it's by featuring, not including Aaron Jones in your offense, but featuring Aaron Jones in your offense. And I get that that sounds crazy because it's Aaron Rodgers, and why would you not just want to throw the ball as much as you can? But I just don't think anybody would say that Aaron Rodgers right now is Aaron Rodgers. And when you have the hot hand, and the hot hand is Aaron Jones, I think you ride that. And I think, you know, especially going on a short week, my presumption would be that that's how the Packers are going to go into Seattle trying to win, is on the ground with Aaron Jones, because that performance yesterday, not just statistically, because again, I think football statistics can be misleading, but you watch that guy run, you watch the way the offense is when he is the focal point of that drive, and they can be really good offensively. It's just the passing game that for some reason still kind of leaves a little bit to be desired.
I still think that Aaron Rodgers looks a little off. I know we've talked about it. Yep. I know we've all been there, done that. I had said, you know, hey, as I sat there and watched him yesterday, is this one of those just momentary things that could be a lingering effect from the collarbone?
It could be, yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. The offense, Bill, it's interesting. And when it works, it's so pretty. You know, it's just when it works and the scramble drill works and the five-second, you know, time-to-throw clock works, it's a thing to behold, and it's the kind of thing that leads highlight reels. But what I keep going back to when I watch this offense is I keep going back to what Tom Brady had said somewhat recently, and even some of Bill Belichick's comments before the Packers-Patriots game. But Brady especially, where it was, I mean, I think Brady said something to the effect of, you know, if Aaron Rodgers was in this system, you know, he would have 7,000 yards a year passing, and he would be the best quarterback to ever play. I don't know if the offense and the system being run, and this is just me trying to find an answer to this, because it's a hard question to answer, but it's one that, you know, we all of us sit here and try to figure out what exactly is wrong. It's almost like they're trying to run an offense circa 2010, 2011, and that's just not the quarterback that Rodgers is right now, whether it's because of the collarbone, whether it's because of being slowed for a month and a half because of the leg and the knee. It's hard to put a finger on it. It just kind of looks like, to me, that it's like if you would just simplify. I think the best Rodgers has looked this year was the second half against Chicago, which is bizarre because it's when he first came back from the injury when no one was expecting him to. But everything was, you know, quick step back, firing the ball within the first 1.5 seconds, and just letting it be as it may. Because I think the Packers have the weapons. Davante Adams probably is for pretty comfortably in the top 10 NFL wide receiver conversation. We've all talked a lot about the breakout of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and we've talked a lot about Aaron Jones. Like, it's a you have the best left tackle pass blocker in the NFL in Bakhtiari. He's been graded out that way consistently every year since 2016, and it is again this year. I mean, there are some holes there, but I mean, yeah, Bill, I think it comes down to, you know, and I hate to say this coming off of a win, because it's not meant to be, you know, doom and gloom Monday after a win, especially a decisive win, but I certainly would wonder what Aaron Rodgers would look like in a different offense. And I don't mean a different offense not in Green Bay. I mean a different offense coming to Green Bay that would maybe better serve the quarterback that Rodgers is today. Is McCarthy and the offense in general trying to kind of fit the old Aaron Rodgers square peg into the current 2018 landscape round hole? I don't, you know what I mean? Like, we're
right.
It used to work, so why doesn't it work now? And, you know, you kind of keep force-feeding the same thing and trying the same thing as opposed to maybe simplifying the offense and doing what you did in that second half against Chicago when you didn't even expect Rodgers to play. It's confounding, Bill. It's confusing. It's odd to try to watch this happen. And I think pending a football miracle, there will probably be somebody else here in 2019 running the offense from a head coach or coordinator perspective or both. And we'll kind of see what a refresh will look like. All I go back to, Bill, is, you know, when Brett Favre was about this age prior to Mike McCarthy coming in, it kind of looked like all was lost and that Favre was done. And, you know, there was plenty of evidence to say, like, man, he's just not Brett Favre anymore. And then in comes the new coaching staff, in comes Mike McCarthy, and Brett Favre is Brett Favre again, maybe even better than what Brett Favre had been before. And I just can't help, Bill, but keep coming back to the thought that that's where this has to go if things are going to get cured.
Keep wondering. We'll see what happens on Thursday night. We'll talk again soon. Paul, good stuff. We'll talk, man, okay?
In this short week, man, this is going to be a heck of a challenge for this team going into Thursday night on a short week, especially coming off a 3:25 afternoon game. And I know Rodgers mentioned it, but, man, what a mentally challenging week for this team. And I think if they do come out, Bill, Thursday and look even like a halfway decent team, I think that will be a lot of credit to the coaching staff, because this is a mental preparation week more than a physical breakdown week. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's hard to do this on a short week and go on the West Coast and travel. It's a heck of a challenge amidst the 4- and 5-game challenge anyway.
Right. No doubt. Good stuff, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, Bill.
Appreciate it. He drops off. You get on board 855-830-8648. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green Gold Analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes.